Welcome back. I'm Graham Richardson in for Vashi Capellas. If you are outside of the Toronto area, you may not have heard about this, or you might have. It's a national news story. The trial of Umar Zamir came to a conclusion with a not guilty verdict. He was charged with first-degree murder in the death of a police officer accused of running him over intentionally. He was acquitted. There are some serious questions about how Toronto police conducted themselves during the investigation and in court. And there are now questions as well about the police chief who suggested that he was hoping for a different verdict after the verdict came in. Ari Goldkind is a criminal defense lawyer and a regular contributor for us. He joins us on the line. Ari, this was quite a case. I wasn't paying attention until post-verdict, and it seems to me it's one of the headlines is it's clear that there are allegations police perjured themselves on the stand during a very, very serious criminal proceedings.
So, yes, and it is, Graham, good to be on with you. I will tell you, it is one of those fascinating cases. Sometimes there's cases that get national attention. They're a little bit dry. They're a little bit boring. This is anything but. So let's go to that allegation of lying under the stand. Just to bring listeners into the courtroom and talk about how the sausage is made, when a traumatic event happens, police officers are aware that they're going to have to testify in court a year or two later. Remember, in Canada, it takes a year or two to get a trial. But police officers do 50 to 100 things a day. They can't remember everything they do. So their teaching, their training, their oath is that when they observe a serious event, they make notes about what happened, but they do it separately. Mm. They don't go to their partner. Let's say their partner is named Graham. They don't say, hey, Graham, what did you see? What do you think we should say here? What story should we come up with to make it look like the bad guy is more guilty? Okay. In this case, it was demonstrated, and Judge Malloy went off on these police officers for doing it. It was a really fascinating exchange, where they all went in a room together and they came up with the same story to a T. Now, here's the problem, Graham. Mm-hmm. After they did that, the objective evidence, the surveillance footage, the forensic evidence from the car, the reconstruction experts of both the Crown and the defense made it absolutely look like these three officers were not telling it straight. That was a really important part of the case. I don't think it's as important as other things that aren't getting talked about or that are getting talked about, I think, incorrectly. But I can tell you that Judge Malloy, because she is fantastic, she is brassy, she doesn't mince her words, she doesn't come up with judicial speak that you require a translator to figure out what a judge says with 13-letter words, she went off about this. And the reason it's so important, Graham, and here's the takeaway, is that for people who were paying attention, even mildly, to this trial, you'll recall that John Tory, the former mayor of Toronto,
yes.
This is the part you'll like then, I think, Doug Ford, Patrick Brown, the mayor of Brampton, they all came out when Mr. Zamir got bail. And they all said, how can a cop killer get bail? I'm paraphrasing. And they're taking a lot of heat today from people who don't understand how this system works. Here's why there's a problem with that, because you asked about the collusion or the perjury.
Mm.
James Raymer was the former chief of police back when this happened, and he is getting a free pass today that is unlike anything I've ever seen. Why? Because he came out and told the public when this happened, and you may have seen this, Graham, that what Mr. Zamir did was an intentional and deliberate act. Mm. Now, when you're the chief of police, that you've either been lied to by your fellow officers, the three people that we're talking about, or you knew better, and remember, he never came out and corrected it, even though the evidence clearly came out quickly that this was not intentional and deliberate. When you come out, Graham, and you call Mr. Zamir an intentional, deliberate cop killer, what message are you sending to the world? Well,
so
it's kind. Yeah, go ahead.
I understand the emotion around a dead officer that many of these politicians and the chief are attempting to reflect back to the public.
A million percent.
I'm wondering whether this case reminds us all about the presumption of innocence, reminds us all about hesitating before doing that. Because in other cases, they all say, let's wait for the facts, let's wait for the judicial process. Why do they not do that when a police officer dies?
Here's why I think the story isn't being told. There's an editorial in my least favorite paper today that really criticizes Ford, Tory, and Brown for speaking out.
Which one's the least favorite?
I don't want to say it because, you know, I won't be in it anymore. But in any event, it's one that, let's just say, I don't agree with its political bent.
All right.
Okay? And it came out and it really criticized Ford, Tory, and Patrick Brown for speaking out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are three politicians. They represent the public. They're voted in. This is a democracy. I know everybody says, oh, they're supposed to shut up until the jury speaks.
Mm.
Well, when you have the chief of police come out and say, an intentional, deliberate cop killer got bail, and then we all hide behind this publication ban, which every lawyer will tell you is great, and every lawyer will say, that's our jury. I'm not one who agrees with that.
Hmm.
When Mr. Zamir got released, his defense team, Graham, this is an important point, his defense team, because there was so much misinformation out in the media that he was a cop killer, intentional, his lawyer came out and said, we don't want this publication ban. Let the public actually know what happened in that underground so that Mr. Zamir isn't tarred and feathered.
Mm.
So while people today, Graham, just to get to a quicker part of this, while so many people are saying, oh, it proved that the system worked because the jury acquitted him, I actually don't agree with that. The system didn't work because he should not have been put on trial for murder. His life and jeopardy and liberty should not have been at stake. The Crown attorneys knew they had a dog's breakfast of a case. They had two judges yell at them that they had no case for murder. So just because the jury did the right thing, I think there are a lot of questions about how our system does work or doesn't work, Graham, that will not get answered. And I can tell you right now, as somebody who does murder after murder for 20 years, this is a murder prosecution that just because the jury saved it, it doesn't mean it's a murder prosecution that should ever have been brought. It was wrong.
And for those who don't know, if I understand this, the police were in plain clothes. They approached the car. It appears he was scared, and he drives away in an underground parking lot at City Hall and ends up running over the police officer. The police officer dies. The allegation was he ran at him. These officers testified that the officer put his arms up and was defensive. And the video and other evidence suggest that's not the case. Do I have that right?
You put that so brilliantly. So let's, again, give me how much time we have for this, because I don't want to go into commercials.
A minute and a half.
All right. Sorry. So you put it, no, it's perfect. You put this brilliantly. Why? Because the way those three officers that you started the questions with me are, they made it seem like it was some Netflix or cop show where the officer is standing in front of the hood, waving his arms, saying, police, police, police. And Zamir just puts the pedal to the metal like the Dukes of Hazzard. That is absolutely not what happened. This man, Mr. Zamir, has just witnessed a stabbing. They think he's somehow connected to it. He's got his 2-year-old child in the back. He's a 34-year-old accountant. Plainclothes people who don't look like cops come storming up to the car. He puts the car in reverse and in a blind spot, very tragically, I want Officer Northrup to be here. It's a cruel world that he's not here with us, Graham. It's a cruel world. But Officer Northrup was run over by Mr. Zamir in his blind side. The Crown tried to make it show that by going 7 kilometers over the speed limit, it was dangerous driving. The jury completely didn't buy that. And it was one of those tragedies where accidents happen, but the media was told, again, I go back to the police chief, that just like you suggested, those three officers tried to get Mr. Zamir convicted by saying Officer Northrup was standing there like a deer in the headlights. That, to me, was really, really a problem with this case.
And a reminder to all of us on this side as well, be skeptical about what police are saying. Don't take them at face value as reporters. Ari Goldkind, always great to hear from you. Thanks so much for joining us.